he is her brother, or if he is her son. And you go in the hadith, when this is going to shock you now. I'm sorry to say this, but they have to know it. A woman can breastfeed any man in any age. So if she breastfeed him, he become her son, and then they can be together. In Egypt, just last year or so, many cases went to all the way to the Supreme Court we have there, like congressmen have here, and people were voting in courts and everything. Is a man allowed to be with a woman in workplace by themselves? Yes, if she breastfeed him. Or if he breastfeed from her mama or her sister or her daughter. Somebody. So now, because in Islam, according to the Quran and the Hadith, if a woman breastfeed a man or a child 5 times, he become her son. You got me so far? So if she breastfeed him 5 times, now he became a son to her, then they can work together. And we have the story in the Hadith. A woman went to the Apostle of God, say, "Oh, Apostle of God, my husband is jealous from our own son, which we adopted 15, 20 years ago. The boy grew up, he become a man, have a mustache, have a beard." And the Apostle of God smiled, and some other place say he laughed, and he said to her, "Breastfeed him." "Oh, Apostle of God, he's a grown-up man, he has a beard, he have a mustache." I said, "I know, breastfeed him." So she went home and breastfeed him 5 times, and guess what? Her husband now is no longer jealous because he became a son to her. And that's what he called the breastfeeding of the old. When you go home tonight, go online and write the word breastfeeding of the old Egypt. You're going to hear all what I'm telling you, what's happened in Egypt the last year. You're going to read the story in the Hadith which happened 1400 years ago. It is a chaos. That's why women will never work with men in Saudi Arabia. Because there's so much in this than you can even imagine. There's so much trash about what Muhammad's way of life was. His beautiful young girl, Aisha, his wife, she didn't have breast to feed. She's a child. She takes the men to her sister's daughter who was pregnant, or she had milk in her breast, and she was feeding men, and therefore now she became a grandma to them, and the men can come and sit with her. So when Muhammad enters the room and she sees her sitting with this guy, she says, "Who is this guy? How dare you bring this man?" "Oh, Apostle of God, he's my grandson. He just breastfeed from my niece 5 times, and he was okay with it." Trash.
A good Muslim woman, for her part, should always be trustworthy and kind.
Mm-hmm.
She should strive to be cheerful and encouraging toward her husband and family, and keep their home free from anything harmful. Regardless of her skills or intelligence, she is expected to accept her man as the head of her household. She must, therefore, take care to marry a man she can respect.
How can she do that?
Wishes she can carry out with a clear conscience. However, when a man expects his wife to do anything contrary to the will of God, in other words, any nasty, selfish, dishonest, or cruel action, she has the right to refuse him.
Absolutely.
"But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God."
Do you notice the language she's using? She's using the man is the head of the wife. She's using a biblical word, and here's the verse. Where she learns this from? In the Quran? In the Quran, it's actually the opposite. The wife is the slave of the husband. You own her. She's like a chair, like a car, like whatever you buy.
"Her husband is not her master.
Mm-mm.
A Muslim woman has only one master, and that is God. If her husband does not represent God's will in the home, the marriage contract is broken."
Well, I think we saw enough from the verses of the Quran what is God's rules is and the more to come. Okay, here we go.
"What should one make of the verse in the Quran that allows a man to punish his wife physically? There are important provisos. He may do so only if her ill will is wrecking the marriage, but then only after he has exhausted all attempts at verbal communication and tried sleeping in a separate bed. However, the Prophet never hit a woman,
mm-mm,
child, or old person,
never,
and was emphatic that those who did could hardly regard themselves as the best of Muslims.
Mm-mm.
Moreover, he also stated that a man should never hit one of God's handmaidens, nor, it must be said, should wives beat their husbands or become inveterate nags."
So women, don't beat your husbands. I don't know where she's dreaming. But that's fine. Now, what we have here, Muhammad never hit any woman. And Muslim people never hit their wives. Let's read. Let's see if this is true or not. Here we go.
Why is it, O Aisha, that you're out of breath? I said, there is nothing. He said, tell me, or Allah would inform me. And then I told him. He said, was it the darkness of your shadow that I saw in front of me? I said, yes. He struck me on the chest, which caused me pain, and then said, did you think that Allah and His Apostle would deal unjustly with you?
I do again. Aisha is Muhammad's favorite wife. This is a little girl, 6 or 9 years old. He struck her on her chest. And what did this wonderful Dr. Ruqayyah said from England? That Muhammad never touched a woman. He never did it. He never touched anybody. As a matter of fact, he never killed anybody. He was so loving, so peaceful, people run to him all the time. Okay?
And of whom you fear rebellion, so preach to them, and separate from them in bed, and scourge them. So if they obey you, so do not seek a way against them. Surely God was higher and big.
This is the rest of the verse where I told you, I'm going to tell you. So what did Muhammad say here in the Quran? A man has the right to scourge their wife. You know, some people translate this, beat them lightly. I'll tell you how lightly is the beating. Here we go.
In explanation of how severe the punishment should be, Ibn Kathir says that the punishment should not cause broken bones, but it should be a light beating.
That's how much you should punish your wife. So when you go home, you want to spank your wife, don't you dare break her bones. As long as there's no broken bones, she'll be happy, everybody will be happy. Beat them lightly. Okay, let's go.
Omar took his wife and beat her, then said to Ashaf, memorize 3 things for me, which I memorized from the Prophet who said, the man is not to be asked why he beat his wife.
You know who Omar is? Omar is like, it's like Peter in the Christian faith. Jesus is like Muhammad. And Omar is like one of the close disciples of... Omar is a close disciple to Muhammad, as Peter is close disciple to Jesus. And Omar said, learn this something from me here, which I learned from Muhammad. Don't you dare ask your neighbor, I hear your wife, she was screaming last night. You were beating her. Why in the world you were beating your wife? Don't you dare ask your Muslim, fellow Muslim, why you were beating their wives. It's none of your business. This is how is the treatment between Muslim men in Muhammad's days. According to Muhammad's words, you go home, you beat your wife. If somebody of your neighbor say, why you beat your wife? Say, Muhammad said, don't do that. It's none of your business. I beat her anytime I want to. No, don't you dare tell me why I beat her. It's none. This is my own way of life. I'm following Muhammad.
Rifa'a divorced his wife, whereupon Abdul Rahman married her. Aisha said that the lady came wearing a green veil and complained to her and showed her a green spot on her skin caused by beating. It was the habit of ladies to support each other. So when Allah's messenger came, Aisha said, I have not seen any woman suffering as much as the believing women. Look, her skin is greener than her clothes.
Here's Aisha, which Muhammad said, take half of Islam out of her. Her own words said what? Men, believing women, who are married to believing men, they were beating them. And this was the habit of the words, you know, ladies sit and talk to her. Her clothes was green clothes. Her skin was darker than her clothes. And it was lightly beating. It was no broken bone. So it's fine. It was fine. You know, literally in Egypt right now, if a man beat his wife and she goes to the police station, she goes to the hospital, they run her through the x-ray machine. If she does not have any broken bones, legally 100%, they say, go back to your husband. So what? So beating. A little bit beating is no big deal. Okay?
Muhammad said, hang the whip where your wives can see it. One great Muslim scholar, Abdul Latif Mushtahari, explains by saying, if admonishing and sexual desertion fail to bring forth results, and the woman is of a cold, stubborn type, the Quran bestows on a man the right to straighten her out by way of punishment and beating, provided he does not break bones nor shed blood.
Okay, we'll learn this enough. According to a Muslim scholar, reasons for a wife should be punished are...
refusing his sexual advances, leaving the house without permission, not caring about her appearance, not performing religious traditions.
Okay, that's pretty easy.
Muhammad said, if a man calls his wife to his bed and she refuses and he goes to bed angry, the angels will curse her until morning.
That's good to know.
Punishment is a great tool of correction and disciplining to those who receive it.
This is a professor. This is a professor in a college in Egypt this day. Right now in Egypt, he may be standing in a class to teach college. A doctor. And he's saying punishment is a good thing to do. Literally, he thinks that, look, he said, look at the army. They punish the soldiers. See, the army in Egypt is different than here. The army in Egypt, if you are older in the military for a week, you can literally slap the one who came a week later in his face. Can you imagine if the man, the charge of the United States of America, the charge of the whole country, President Bush, can you imagine if he slapped some normal man in the street? What's going to happen to him? He'll be in jail. I mean, he'll be sued and we have a problem. But in Egypt, anybody can beat anybody. As a matter of fact, it's a way of life. I've seen in my own eye, men beating the people work for them. Physically.
Muhammad ordered a raid on a village that opposed him. His adopted son Zaid captured an elderly woman. He tortured her mercilessly and killed her by tying her feet with ropes to two separate camels, which went in different directions, splitting her in half.
And Muhammad never touched a woman. Neither the early Muslim people touch women. They're all wonderful, loving, peaceful people. They love their wives so much. Let's all become Muslim.
Finally, there is the issue of giving witness. Although the Quran says nothing explicit, other Islamic sources suggest that a woman's testimony in court is worth only half of that of a man. This ruling, however, should be applied only in circumstances where a woman is uneducated and has led a very restricted life. A woman equally qualified to a man will carry the same weight as a witness.
Have I told you earlier that this woman, I doubt she read the Quran? Here's another mistake in her talk here. The Quran says nothing explicit. How is this word? Explicit. The Quran never mentioned anything about that the woman is in a court of law half equal half witness of men. The Quran never said, what if I quote you a verse from the Quran right now? And then she said, and this was just culture thing, you know, and this only applied for the uneducated women. I did not know that there was any educated one. Women are equal to men. Here is the verse in the Quran.
So, if he who owes the debt was mentally deficient or weak or cannot dictate, so let his friend dictate with justice and call two witnesses from your men. So if there were not two men, so one man and two women of those among you whom you approve for witnesses, so that if one of them should make an error, the other may cause her to remember.
See, the whole thing is about women are not smart. Women are stupid. They will not remember. They will forget. And you know what's so amazing? This is the opposite of reality. Women, as they think, as they live, as they go, they use the right and left brain in the same time. I have so many times have difficulty living with my wife for the last 15 years because she'll be talking about something where I can only use my right brain. And then she throws stuff where I'm supposed to think with my left brain. And I'm not her. I'm not there. I'll give you a good example. I'll be in Home Depot. And she said, you saw me? Where are you at? I said, Home Depot. Oh, can you buy me 2 pieces of wood, 2x8 and whatever size? Okay, honey. And some nails? Okay, honey. And then she threw and a gallon of milk and 2 boxes of cereal. Okay. Well, so far, I'm in Home Depot. All I'm thinking is the piece of wood, the nail, the screw, and the saw. I'm going to buy this stuff and I go home. She said, where is the milk? I said, what milk? I told you I need a gallon of milk and 2 boxes of cereal. Honey, I was thinking with my right head here. All what I have is Home Depot. Food is here, so food and wood don't get together. And it's reality. Women use their mind and their emotions. Women remember better than men. I know this for sure. Ask any psychologist. They tell you women have a greater memory. They remember stuff we cannot remember. If one of them forgets, the other one remind her because they're just stupid.
One woman of 99 women is in heaven, and the rest of them are in fire.
That's what Muhammad says. Literally, I don't know why a woman in America becoming Muslim. Because they're just stupid. I mean, they proved to me that Muhammad is right. He said they're stupid. And here they go, leaving America, leaving the freedom of the life of this world and everything God given him in the scripture, the Holy Scripture, and they just join this new cult of women becoming Muslim in America. It's a new model, a new car to drive or something.
Muhammad said, "As I stood by the gate of hell, I saw that most of those who enter the gate are women."
There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Notice that the scripture, the whole scripture is very clear. We're all one, but not one anywhere but in Christ Jesus. So many people think that, here is how women are in Christianity. Here how women are this. I mean, you can describe all women however you want to describe them. If they're not in Christ, they're not. So as men, it doesn't really make any difference. So people, we have so many people in our churches these days are not born again Christian. I don't call them Christian at all. The key is Christ. The key is the church. It's not the club or other people who come join and leave. So if you see a husband and wife are not living a Christian life, they're not in a union according to the scripture, according to the word of God, where he must love her even to die. She must submit to him as the church must submit to Christ. And he's telling me, oh, look at the marriage divorce. It's 50%, it's 52% in the church. You know what? Thank God this is not true. That's a lie. 52 of the people who are member in the club of the church, but not the body of Christ. One every 111 families are divorced in the Christian homes. When you show me one Christian husband and a Christian wife married each other, every 111 family, one is divorced. Yes, 52% in among the church, and the reason is not that, because people outside are not married anymore. They're just living together in sin. If people outside marry, as people in the church marry, the divorce outside will be 200%. And the church will be only 20%. And the 20% are not even among Christians, it's among those who join our club. And we cannot tell them leave. And we pray for them and we love them. And we wait for the day where they become a Christian and truly gives their heart to Christ. And then you will not find a divorce. If the people in America do not live the Christian life, it is not because women in the scripture are not treated right. It's because people are not living according to the scripture. Is this clear? Is this understandable? And now, for those women who you maybe see them on TV and YouTube and all this, who become Muslim, they were never a Christian. If they were ever a Christian, they will not leave Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. And no one can go to the Father but by Christ. Who will know Christ and leave Christ and go to Muhammad? Who will know Christ, leave Christ and believe in even lies like this woman teach? Who have common sense, who read the Quran or read the Hadith as I share with you tonight, who will continue one day in the religion of Islam? They are deceived by Islam and they are deceiving others by their lies. I pray that tonight will not be just another 2 hours sitting together or just get some information. You need to know these things. I mean, brother, you record this thing tonight. You guys need to hear this over and over again. You need to share this with your friends, your own pastors, mama, married to a Muslim man. Some of your children or your grandchildren are going to be married to Muslim men and Muslim women. It's time for the church to wake up. We are not actually asleep. We are in, what do you call this word, Brother?
Drug-induced coma.
We're in a coma. Literally, the church in America is in a coma. And you know what? If you have announcements, Brother Greg, all over the city here, and everyone knows I'm going to be here, you know what's going to happen? You always have only a few people to hear. People are in a coma. I think a seminar like this needs to be spread to every home in America. Every Christian or non-Christian, even the atheists of America, need to learn about the truth about Islam. They will not fall into the lies and deception of this Muslim people. They are not quoting a verse from the Quran to support their teaching. They are just teaching you whatever you want to hear to deceive you. Some of them are already deceived. And I know maybe this wonderful woman here, she's been deceived for the last whatever years she's been a Muslim. And sadly, she has deceived hundreds and thousands of her own people in England. And so it is in America today. So many deceived. We're guessing roughly 2 million people, 2 million women have become Muslim in this country the last 6 years. Do you know the truth about Islam? Did he have any clue what Muhammad taught about women? No. But they heard the lies of others like this woman, and they become Muslim. I pray that tonight we have some tools. We use it to build awareness among others. Please get a copy or two, make two copies, put them on your website, and spread it out. People need to hear that. Amen. And if they think I'm lying, they go read the Quran. You don't have to read my Quran, read any other Quran. Go online and search, and you found what I said was 100% truth. But the key here is in Christ. If you are not in Christ, you're no different than anybody else who's lost. How can we be in Christ? It's when you give your heart to Jesus. We're not good. I'm not good. If you think you're good, Brother Greg, are you good on your own? We're only good because of what Christ did for us. But if Christ pays our bill by His own death on the cross, and we don't take His gift, where are you going to spend eternity? In hell. Even if you know all the truth in your head, without Christ, would not be any different than Muslim. Are you in Christ? Have you give your heart to Jesus? Do you know that you are a sinful man, sinful woman, and if you die tonight, you spend eternity in hell? And because Jesus died on the cross, you can be forgiven of your sin. If you accept His death by your behalf, you can spend eternity in heaven. Not because you become good anymore, because He paid for your sin. He paid for our wickedness. We can be all one in Christ. Woman, men, free, slave, Greek or Hebrew. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for a wonderful time I have here with my family here, Lord. I thank You for this church and for their support, and for the love for You and for our ministry. I pray, God, that You continue use this part of Your body to spread the truth about You, most important, and the lies about Islam to be exposed. May the people of this city, may the families and the friends of Your people here will know the truth, as this message will go in a bigger circle and a bigger circle. I pray, Lord Jesus, that no one will leave this room here tonight unless he and she know for sure that they have a relationship with You, that they can be set free from their sin, so they can be one in Christ. We love You, Lord Jesus. We appreciate all what You have done for us, especially Your death on the cross by our behalf. Help us, Lord, to be open, to learn more, and spread the truth around. It's in Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus' name we pray. Oh, Lord, we're about to leave this place, but from Your loving face and Your wonderful grace, we will never leave. Amen. Any question? I still have... No, I don't have any time. 9 o'clock. But I start late tonight. I mean, I cut some of my seminar because we start 15 minutes. I'm supposed to start at 7. You start me late. Yes, brother. Barack Hussein Obama, his real name.
And they were showing him the other Democratic presidents, and they showed that he refused to participate in the Pledge of Allegiance.
My friend, Islam teaches you don't pledge a flag, you pledge in any other allegiance except the Muslim flag, which has the statement, no God except Allah and Muhammad is His apostle. It's a black flag with the statement written in white, no God but Allah and Muhammad is His prophet, and you have the two swords below it.
So
the loving
accurate.
Two swords. That's the only flag a Muslim man will... He said, well, he pledged a flag in his heart. Barack Obama is a Muslim man. He's a big deceiver. He's a wolf in sheep's skin. And sadly, he can be your president the next 4 years. And if he becomes the president for 4 years, it's not going to be 4, it's going to be 8. And if Hillary won, he's going to be after her for another 8. So 16 years is going to be the White House is going to move to the left side. Very clearly, him and Hillary and all the Democrats on their side, they will not use any power against Iran. They will not go in war against Iran. They will just talk to Iran. And Mahmoud Ahmadinejad would love to talk to America. He can even have coffee and tea and dinner and all what you want, brother. You invite him to your home, he will come. I promise you. And if this happened, the United States will be destroyed from within. And I fear so sadly that this could happen, that the next election will bring this country down to the dirt. We choose peace, and we're going to end with war. But we're not going to be the one who fight. We're the one who will be killed. Sadly. Other question? You know what's so amazing? Every time they mention the Mormon brother, what's his name?
Romney.
The Mormon. Nobody mentioned Obama, the Muslim. Because he said he's a Christian. Have you checked his church out? It's a cult church. They are separatism black church who teach black is good and white is evil. His pastor joined hand with Louis Farrakhan, the leader of Nation of Islam, Muammar Gaddafi, the president of Libya, like Saddam Hussein. And he does not think there's anything wrong. His church have members are Muslim. I investigated myself. And if you don't believe me, call Brother Israel Cox, Cross Point Baptist Church. He heard the conversation, him, his secretary, and two other members of the church. Baraka Hussein Obama is a Muslim man. I'm sorry?
Oprah Winfrey was touring with...
Oprah? Oprah said very clearly, I heard in my own ear, Islam is a loving, peaceful religion. Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him, is a great prophet. And she, I don't doubt she's a Muslim too. I don't doubt it. See, there's a lot of black in our country who hate the whites. And because they hate the whites, they hate the religion of the whites, which is Christianity, period. It doesn't matter. If Satan run black, they will vote for him. And sadly, so many of the churches, the black church in America, cannot see anything wrong to vote for Obama. Even if he's a Muslim, simply because he's black. And that's not the church, the body of Christ. I will not, let me put it this way. If Barack Hussein Obama was 100% Muslim and he became 100% Christian, I will not vote for him for this office. I maybe vote for him as a congressman, I vote for him. If he's a 100% Christian, he left Islam and he become a Christian, 100%. I will not vote for him in a position office of the president. For a simple reason. What if he is not? You don't know your wife if she's a Christian or not. You don't know your father if he's a Christian or not. You don't know your son if he's a Christian or not. Because Christianity is not going to church. It's accepting of Christ in your heart. You cannot figure out who I am standing right now before you. You may be saying, oh, Brother Sam is a great Christian preacher. But Brother Sam could be the greatest wicked man too. You hear me? I will vote for the Mormon gentleman and I will not vote for Obama. I will vote for an atheist and I will not vote for Obama. Period. Any other questions? Going once? Going twice? God bless you all. Someday I'm going to be in prison because of what I'm saying. But or maybe I'll be killed too.
I'd like to pray for you.
Please do.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we just lift up Usama to you, Lord, and your ministry. Yes. We ask you, Father.